Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson, and I would like to welcome you to When He Speaks to Rock. It's the podcast that I explore the intoxicating powers of love, relationships, and sex, all from my perspective. I want to invite you to experience that journey with me as I try to awaken your innermost thoughts. My topic for tonight, reaching new peaks of pleasure in the 69th position. Also, my question of the night, is it true that guys in the friend zone make better husbands? So please do me a favor, relax, chill, and I'll be right back with the question of the night. All right, so my question of the night is it true that guys in the friend zone make better husbands? It's a question on the tip of everyone's tongue. Can someone really go from being friend-zoned to being happily ever after? The answer, it turns out, may surprise you. Studies have found that men who are friend-zoned in the beginning stages of a relationship tend to be more devoted, supportive, and understanding partners down the line. And it's the qualities that makes for a strong and lasting relationship. Could it be that the long-standing saying holds true? Nice guys finish last, but win in the end. Establishing the friend zone theory. Have you ever heard of the friend zone theory? It suggests that when a couple starts out as friends and one person gradually gets closer to the other, they may be headed for a romantic relationship. But can it also mean that the feelings aren't reciprocated? If one person wants something more than friendship, but the other isn't interested, they're stuck in that dreaded friend zone. Now, don't get me wrong. The friend zone isn't a bad place to be. And it's one of those things that men will have to understand that you're probably placed there because a woman then went through situations that wasn't beneficial to her, that came across as men just wanting one thing, which is normally sex. And I guess you get to a point where you're just tired of it. But you still have to communicate. You still have to interact with the other gender, the other sex. So there's nothing wrong with laughing and talking and hanging out. But right now, I'm not really trying to have sex. So that's when the dreaded friend zone, as people may say, comes about. And I have seen that it's been very beneficial to some guys that I know. I know some guys who were in the friend zone for months. And when they got out, they end up being together for a lot of years. I'm talking about well over 10 years. So it can be beneficial, but on the flip side, the man will have to go into that situation knowing that it's not going to be overnight. A woman's not going to like say, okay, it's 3 weeks, so let's, take it to another level. Some women get comfortable with that friend zone. They like the fact that a man can go shoe shopping and not complain. Or they like that a man can watch Lifetime or a TV show or a movie that's more something that they like with a bunch of, women, and it's kind of like a feminine type movie where a man can sit there and watch that with her and not feel like he's just doing it just to get some. So the friend zone has its benefits, but it's also a lot of work. And you got to be strong, brothers. You got to be, like, mentally strong. And what that means is you can't be, like, in the friend zone with somebody and then go screw somebody else who's willing to give you the sex that you want. Because eventually the person in the friend zone, the person that you have the friend zone type relationship with, they're going to find out that you was creeping. Somehow or another, it's going to come up that, okay, you wasn't being truthful, and that's just another reason for me not to want to deal with men, because you couldn't be honest with me and say, hey, I cannot wait until you're ready to be intimate or have sex. I need to, you know, get my groove on right now. So if it's not you, then let me go and do something else. No, you're playing the field. You're eating your cake and having your ice cream too. And I don't care how much you try to hide that shit or how much you try to make it not, you know, appear or seem like that's what you're doing, it's going to come out. It may not come out right then and there. It may come out one day when you're doing something and you may slip and say something. And your woman might, you know, hit you with the, well, I thought you was doing this, doing that particular time when we was in the friend zone. So you're telling me now that you was lying. So if you don't want to be in the friend zone, don't do it. Don't put yourself through it because it's not worth it. If you see someone and you really want to build on something and they want to put you in that friend zone, take your time and decide if that's where you want to be. You know? It can mean, okay, I'm sorry. With the friend zone theory, it suggests that when a couple starts out as friends, one person will gradually get closer and the other one, okay, I'm sorry, I went over that already. But here's some things some people believe that guys who have been in the friend zone make for good husbands. After all, these men already know the woman well, so they'll feel surprises once the relationship is established. Plus, since the guys have been friends with her for so long, he has an ample opportunity to demonstrate how devoted and supportive he can be. So does the friend zone theory indicate that when it comes to commitment, devotion, and marriage, guys who have gone through the friend zone first make the best partners? Let's look and explore this theory. Because being in the friend zone can be tough. And it can have both its advantages and disadvantages. On one hand, by taking things slowly, it leads to trust and understanding that can help form the basis of a healthy relationship. Whereas on the other hand, there is often a huge buildup of emotions that can make things difficult for people involved to remain friends if their feelings aren't matched. So you may feel like, okay, we in this friend zone and, you know, I've been doing this for a long period of time and I ain't getting nothing that I want, but you're getting everything that you want. So I don't think it's fair. And after a while, it's like, you know what? I can't take it. And that's being honest. And the fact that if a person is being honest that they can't do that, it might hurt the person who wants to be in the friend zone, but they have to respect you. They have to realize that, okay, at least they was honest enough with me to let me know that this situation that we're doing ain't working. And you have to respect that. So why do some people believe that guys in the friend zone make better husbands? Well, it's because they're perceived to be more patient and understanding. They also may be better at communicating and able to talk calmly and openly about their partner's needs and wants. Ultimately, the answer to this question depends on the individual. So, it's whatever someone feels. You know what I'm saying? There's no right or wrong answer. It's how you feel about the situation. Is it true that guys in the friend zone make better husbands? The idea that the guys in the friend zone make better husbands is a controversial one. Because you got some people who truly believe that this theory is true. And you got some who look at it as, some guys will really just do it in order to get what it is that they want and not be sincere about being in the friend zone. You know what I'm saying? They might be there just long enough to outwait a woman and finally get with her. And then the next thing you know, once they done got what they needed, they move on. I've seen that plenty of times. I've done it where, you know, okay, I'm really feeling her, but she ain't really trying to do this, but I ain't trying to go nowhere because for some reason I got a good feeling that this might be what I want. So let me be patient and wait this thing out. Now, you wait it out, it's either going to be good or bad. If it's good, you might hang around. You might, you know, have intentions of doing or being with somebody else, but you're going to hold on to this one for a while because it's good. If it's bad, you're out there on the first train smoking. Oh, no, I got to go. I waited for this. I done put all this time aside and not really dealt with nobody else for this old bad situation. So it goes both ways. Ultimately, whether your potential suitor has been friend zoned or not should not be the main factor when considering marriage. I think when it comes to marriage, you have to include a lot of factors. You know what I'm saying? You can't just look at a man and say, at least he was there for me. I mean, that's a big reason to get married, that you know that someone will be there for you, but you got to look at it from, you know, the whole spectrum, you know? You got to do your due diligence, and I'm not saying doing a full background check, but get to know the person get to know the person beyond what you see. You know what I'm saying? Try to, you know, see how they are with other people, see how they are with your family, you know, and see if they are able to be the person who they claim to be or present themselves to be all the time. I think that's one of the most important things, is to see how a person is when they're not around you or when they're not that involved with you, but still in a relationship with you. Because then that way you'll know you'll have a real one or not. If a situation happens, you know someone's going to be there by your side. You know, when the first thing goes wrong or a negative situation pop up, they're not out the door, you know? To close this question, at the end of the day, it's up to each person to decide what kind of relationship they want. While taking the friendship route may offer a sense of security, there are cases where couples who jump right into romance who have ended up just as happy. Ultimately, the key to finding long-lasting love is to have a clear communication and mutual respect for one another, regardless of how the relationship starts. And on that note, I'll be right back for my topic of the night. All right, so my topic of the night is reaching new peaks of pleasure in the 69 position. This is one of my favorite positions. And the reason I think it is because it's such a classical sexual act that's been around for centuries. And it, to this day, it's not popular, but it's the fact that it's satisfying to both partners at the same time, I find that still fascinating, you know? You don't have to worry about one partner not feeling, or you know, you don't have to worry about a partner feeling left out. Because both of you at the same time providing oral pleasure. The popularity of the 69 position can be attributed to its flexibility and having a comfort level. No matter what your body size is or body type, it allows both of you to pleasure each other at the same time. The position is one of the most satisfying intimate sexual positions out there. The main idea behind the 69 position is that both participants provide oral pleasure to one another on their respectable side at the same time. And to get in the position, you have to lay on each other's sides, one partner facing the other, or you may have one on top. And should the one be on top, continue to move until they're like in the right angle. Angles are very important. One reason why you want to have the right angles is because you want your body to feel comfortable. You don't want to lay on your arm and your arm fall asleep. Or you don't want to have your head or neck in a certain position and then you get a crook in your neck. You want to make sure you even before you get started. Just kind of like move around and find where it is that you're comfortable, and then proceed to, you know, with the act. Because once you're comfortable, you're going to be in that position for a while, and, you know, depending on how long it takes a person to reach orgasm, you know, and you don't want to stop. You don't want to, you know, stop in the middle and say, you know, my neck hurt, or my arm and fell asleep, and then you have to stop the procedure, and someone might lose that momentum, you know. So that's why it's important to get comfortable and find your angles, and make sure that your body is in the right positions. Because once you are in a comfortable position, once you found your angles, then it's time to explore each other through taste, touch, and smell. Now, the smell part, it should be automatic that when you are that close up on each other, you got to be clean. It shouldn't be no question about it. Even if you don't think you're going to be doing it, still clean yourself when you're being intimate and sexual, because that's you're in close proximity of a person's genital. And if you're not clean, it's difficult to stay down. I ain't going to lie to you. It's difficult, because some people just got a certain body odor that doesn't agree with you. And, you know, when you got somebody locking their legs around you, you got to be able to find a way to breathe and perform at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're that close up, and when you got something in your face like that, it's difficult to breathe, you know? So the person has to be, you know, cleanliness is a must. When done right, when you do the 69 right, you will experience a level of intimacy and pleasure like never before. The benefits of the 69 position. When in this position, each partner is simultaneously receiving pleasure from each other, which creates a unique equalizing sensation between both parties, and it encourages deeper communication through wordless expression. The trust and connection created by this intimate experience allows each partner to feel comfortable exploring their own boundaries and desires in a safe and secure environment. The amount of stimulation during the 69 position is incomparable, with both partners being able to reach new heights of pleasure in one single moment. Because by synchronizing movement and gestures, a couple can truly understand what works best for them, enjoying each other's touch without any insecurities or pressures, or pressure increase, both confidence and overall satisfaction of the experience. The 69 position can help you bond in a way that's very enjoyable. Exploring new pleasures in the 69 position. You can customize the 69 position in so many ways. With the help of pillows, props, and cushions, you can elevate your experience to a new height. It's like a playground of pleasure. Each movement brings a new sensation, and each exploration reveals something wonderful. So don't be alarmed when you reach a peak of pleasure. Just enjoy it. Ride that wave. Let yourself feel free and enjoy being in that position. Experience the heightened sensation as both of you become one. Unwind in one another's embrace as you gradually come back down to earth after a night of pure bliss. Experience true shared pleasure together in the 69 position like no other. Tips for making the most out of the 69 position. When it comes to this position, there are a few important tips that can help ensure both partners enjoy themselves. First, make sure you and your partner take the time to get comfortable. Find a spot on the bed or the couch where you can both lay comfortably with minimal movement. Both of you should be relaxed, and if something don't feel right, take the time to adjust before proceeding. Once you're comfortable, create a inviting atmosphere of kissing, caressing, and exploring each other's body. Make sure to provide plenty of oral pleasure to you both. Pay attention to each other's responses and find out what feels good for you. When you're ready to move on, keep a steady rhythm as you switch between giving and receiving. Experiment with different speeds and motions until you find one that works best for you. Above all, focus on creating passionate experiences filled with connections and intimacy. Now, when it comes to experiment, ultimate intimacy and satisfaction with your significant other, the 69 position is an uncomparable choice. Here you can savor a climax together, unlocking untold realms of desire, of delight, and forging a strong, unbreakable bond. There are no boundaries when it comes to this position. With patience, persistence, and exploration, you will uncover surprise after surprise, basking in each other's pleasure to never before imagined heights. So loosen up, revel in one another, and don't be scared to dive in. Try the 69 position and let the passion carry you away. Now, one of my favorite positions, hands down. And it was one of those things I didn't really do that much because as much as I liked it, I was dealing with women who really didn't care for it, who didn't have who didn't care to have anything in their mouth or for a man to please them orally. And it was so weird. It was like, for a moment, it was like, okay, this is the type of woman I'm supposed to be with. Even though I was a whole lot different, you know? But I think I adjusted to it and, you know, got to a point where it wasn't the norm. But it was still one of my favorites, you know? And like I said, the fact that you're both providing pleasure at the same time and you're enjoying each other, there's one person is not being left out. Awesome feeling. Awesome. And to me, it's second to a missionary, you know? Maybe it's the old school in me that think like that. I don't know, but those two positions were two of my favorite, you know? And a lot of people just don't really speak about it. And I guess people don't speak about sex like I do or whatever. But, you know, we would have conversations, me and some guys, and it never really came up or, like, man, that's not my thing. You know what I'm saying? I need to be up in them guts. I don't need to be, you know, all lovey-dovey and providing pleasure to a woman. I was just amazed that men thought like that. You know, it seemed like that was, it didn't seem uncommon. It seemed like that was the way to be as a man. And I just didn't see things like that, you know? So, but yeah, it was a good position, you know? For me not to have done it a lot of times, it was, I don't know, it's just one of those things that stay on my mind when I think about certain situations or times I've had from my past, you know? But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and end the podcast. I want to say thank you to everyone who listens to the podcast, who supports, and, Wednesday just has become a busy night for me, you know, and I'm going to still try to do it and do it on both Wednesday and Saturday nights, but right now I've just been kind of like grinding on Wednesday, you know. So y'all continue to like and support and share the podcast. Go back and listen to some old joints and my older podcast, that was my feeling out process, you know what I'm saying, because it took me a while to get to the point where I feel comfortable to talk so openly about relationships and sex and my experiences. You know, that first year was rocky, you know. The second year I found the groove, but I just wasn't consistent. And now it's like, it's a lot more consistency as far as, you know, trying to say different things and trying to, you know, provide some entertainment or something that people want to talk about sex from a man perspective. You know, I think one of the biggest things is, you know, a lot of times we just hear so many things from the way women see things. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Even if it is talking about men and sex, you know, because everybody got different experiences. But I just think it comes a whole lot better when a man, you know, speaks on what he knows or what he has experienced in the bedroom or outside the bedroom when it comes to relationships. So that's what my podcast is all about. You know, just me telling my point of view from my perspective. You know, not to shit on nobody or not to make it seem like people can't talk about what they want to talk about. Because if someone told me I couldn't talk about something, I would light their ass up and be like, whatever. You know, so I can't, you know, I can't be a hypocrite and say I think women shouldn't do podcasts about men and sex because, you know, I don't know the experience, you know. So I had to get to this point. But yeah, it's been a journey, man. And, you know, it's every time I get on the mic, it's just different for me. It's a different vibe. It don't get to a point where I don't want to do it. I haven't gotten to that point yet. No matter how much criticism or how much, you know, people might say you shouldn't do that, I'm like, okay, I accept it and I do what I do. But anyway, enough about that, man. I hope everybody have a good night. Take care of yourselves. Be safe out here in these streets, and I'll talk to y'all later.